Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Most Merciful, our viewers out there, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon all of you, and thank you for joining us in the rationale, the intersection of faith and reason, with our guest here, Dr. Ja'far Sheikh Idris. Dr. Ja'far, once again, thank you for being with us. Last time we discussed the idea of the others and how does Islam view others. Interestingly, in the Quran, there are many invitations to reflect upon the heavens and the earth, to reflect upon one's own creation, to reflect upon one of my favorite is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Qul انظروا كيف بدأ الله الخلق." That go and reflect and see how did Allah start creation. And they say it was these type of verses that brought in this harmony between Islam and science to the point that Islam at its peak raised such great interest in astronomy that Muslims have excelled in this science and other sciences as well. And I think that in one episode you alluded to it, it was this harmony between Islam and science that has attracted people to come to the fold of Islam.
Yes. And I think the relation between science and Islam is even deeper than this. So to see this, I think we should start by what we mean by science. Science consists of so many elements. First, the method, which is more important, the what is called scientific method. And then the individual facts that are discovered through that message. Then there are theories. There are laws of nature. Laws which explain the behavior of those individuals and so on. And lastly, there is a philosophy of science. Now, let us show the Islamic position regarding each one of these, if possible.
Please.
Now, the first one is the method. Now, the method, what is the method? The method is a rational method. But many people make the mistake of confusing science being, scientific method being a rational method and considering it the only rational method. It is a rational method, but it is one among
others.
Yes, one among others. What is it that makes a method rational? That it gives evidence, proper evidence, for the claims. But the evidence differs according to the claims that are made. Now, what is the nature of the evidence? According to the Quran, as we said in earlier episode, that God, when God, you, God brought you out of the wombs of your mothers, you came out knowing nothing. And he endowed you with these senses and with the mind. So anything for which there is evidence, empirical evidence, will be accepted by the Muslim. Because this is what the Quran is telling him. In fact, the Quran takes to task people who don't accept empirical facts. وَلَوْ نَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ كِتَابًا فِي قِرْطَاسٍ فَلَمَسُوهُ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ لَقَالُوا إِنَّمَا سُكِّرَتْ أَبْصَارُنَا.
An indication that regardless of what type of evidence is presented to them, they're going to refuse no matter what. And in the verse that you just recited, it's about if we were to send down a book to them that they would feel with their own hands, they would still not believe in this.
This is true.
Empirical evidence here is also rejected by these people.
So a Muslim who reads this must believe in the testimony of the senses. He cannot say, as some people would say, I don't accept anything except if it is in the book of God. And I sometimes said, but even here you are depending on your senses. How do you know that this is a book of God? You are depending either on your mind and also on your senses. You have to see the book or hear the book recited. So no knowledge can enter the human mind except through this avenue.
Hmm.
The senses, no knowledge can enter except through the senses. And then the mind reflects on them.
Mm-hmm.
Even prophets, how do they know? An angel comes to them, conveys the message to them, either verbally, mm-hmm. they hear it, or directly to their hearts. So the heart, the mind has to be involved. There is no way. So that's why, as far as the method is concerned, we have no objection. We have no objection with
to scientific
success.
Findings.
Oh, yes. We say only, we accept your message, your method, because we think that the evidence you are giving is appropriate to the claims. And we can see that science does not always use the same method. This proves my point that the evidence must be appropriate to the claim.
Mm-hmm.
If you are dealing in chemistry, you make experiments. But what about astronomy?
You can't make any experiments.
No, you can't say, let us bring the moon nearer to the sun and see what happens. Here, you will depend on observation.
Sure.
And on mathematical, logical deductions, and so on. This is the whole thing you can do. If someone makes a historical claim, you can't say, I want to make experiments or to observe. He must give you an evidence that is appropriate to the historical claim.
That is made.
Yes. So we are not against the scientific method as far as it goes. We accept all the facts that come through this method. But we say that this is not the only rational method. Knowledge is not confined to what is called scientific mm-hmm. method. So we have no problem with the method. Now, we have also no problem with the individual facts, as I have just said, that science proves. We have no problem with them. If it is a proven scientific fact, proven either by the senses or by reason, then we accept it. Ibn Taymiyyah was dealing with this question of the relation between reason and revelation. And he asked himself, he was replying or criticizing some people who said, precedence, some of them said, like Arazi, I think, should be given to reason, because it was reason that led us to revelation.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no. This depends on on the fact that is claimed to be rational. He said, if about one particular matter, revelation says something about which you have no doubt, I mean, the religious statement is a very clear, authentic, well-known statement. And science says something about that particular fact. Again, the scientific statement is very clear. The evidence is very clear. He said, in this case, there can be no contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are Allah's, God's words, and this is God's creation.
And there could be no contradiction.
No contradiction. Now, the interesting are the other examples. Interesting. What if one of them is 100% known, but the other is not 100% known? Zanni, he says. We think that it is the truth, but we are not 100% sure.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you give precedence to the one that is 100% known, irrespective of whether
it was the science
or the religion. And I usually give example of the shape of the earth. There are verses in the Quran which can be understood to mean that the earth is flat.
Mm-hmm.
But now we know for sure that the earth is not flat. So we give precedence to this, to the interpretations of some of of the interpretations which interpreted that way that verse to mean that the earth is flat. Here we give precedence.
And what we would do is we would question our understanding
yes.
of these verses,
yes.
but we would not try to manipulate or change with the scientific findings.
And this point is very important. Many people think, and I keep telling the philosophers that I know, they think that a religious person would do what you have now been. I said, no, I have no problem with facts. Because I believe that my religion does not contradict any fact. So I'm not afraid of scientific facts, because I believe that whatever is scientifically proven to be true cannot contradict my religion. It might help me even to understand some of the verses about whose interpretation I was not very sure. Now he said, but suppose that both of them are not, are zanni. Zanni means that only probably known, both of them. To which do you give precedence? He said, to the one with the stronger evidence.
Again,
irrespective of whether it is this or that.
Sheikh Ja'far, that is such an important point right there. We are going to take a short break and we will be back, so please stay tuned.
Dear viewers, Hoda programs can be watched in the English section of the in-flight entertainment directory on board all Saudi airline flights, domestic and international. Sit back, relax, and enjoy watching Hoda's entertaining and enlightening shows on your trip. Hoda wishes you a safe and successful journey. Hoda, a light in every home.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, and welcome back again, and thank you for joining us in the Rational, the intersection of faith and reason, with our beloved guest, Dr. Ja'far Sheikh Idris. Dr. Ja'far, earlier you were talking about this idea of which takes precedence. Is it reason or is it revelation? And you were mentioning something that was very interesting by Ibn Taymiyyah regarding what happens if there is contradiction. And you said that if we're certain about both the revelation aspect and the rational aspect, you're saying that contradiction is not even a possibility. And I believe your reason for that was, this is the revelation of God and this is the creation of God. Therefore, there could be no
contradiction.
No contradiction between these two. And what would happen in case there is?
Yes, I think that this is what we said. That in case there is, then one of them must be wrong. If either this what we call scientific fact is not really a scientific fact, or what we attribute to religion is not really attributed to, either because if it is a hadith, that the hadith is not authentic.
Hadith meaning the prophetic statements of the Prophet.
Authentic. Or if it is a verse of the Quran, but about whose meaning we are not certain, we know that this is a verse in the Quran, but we are not sure about the meaning. So if there is a contradiction, then it must be due to one of these cases. If the scientific fact is 100% proven, then we change our mind about what we thought was a religious statement. We go and revise the hadith, see if this, find that the hadith is weak, so we say there's no problem, this hadith is weak. Or that the interpretation was wrong. we depended on someone's interpretation, which proved to be not the right interpretation, and so on. Mm-hmm. If it is the other way around, that the statement, the
religious
statement, is
accurate and with certainty.
Yes, and the scientific one is
doubtful.
Yes, then we give precedence to this one.
Sheikh, I think because of the compelling nature of, like you said, the scientific method and the evidence and the claims, some people think that the authenticity of the Quran can only be determined, or there is this idea of always going, looking through the Quran, trying to find out what may seem or sound to be scientific, so that we come to science, therefore we endorse our beliefs about the Quran.
Of course, this is wrong, because God told us that this is a source of knowledge, and this is the source of knowledge. The world is the source of knowledge. The revelation is the source of knowledge. And we don't have to confirm one by looking into the other. Mm-hmm. Of course, if we find both of them confirming us, that will give us more, increase our faith. But it is not a condition for something in the Quran to be true that it be scientifically proven. Neither is it necessary for acceptance of scientific fact to find something that supports it in religion. Because this is a source of knowledge. This is a source of knowledge. There is no problem. In fact, they have to go together. Mm-hmm. I know some people say, no, we will not accept except the words of revelation, and we don't resort to what you call empirical fact. Except that if you do this, you cannot even practice your religion.
Interesting.
Yes. The religion will tell you to pray at sunset. How do you know that the sunset? You don't open the book to see whether the sun has set in Egypt or not. You go and see. How do you know that this is the month of Ramadan? How do you know that this is Friday? You have to depend on your senses and on your reason, even for the practice of your religion.
Sheikh, I think I'm going to make another confession here. This is my second confession as we're talking. I could not help but feel tickled every time there was this idea of the Quran being endorsed by some scientific miracle that's out there. But what you're saying is that they need not to be competing with one another. They complement one another.
No.
And if it's the truth here or the truth here, to us Muslims, it's his creation, it's his revelation, and we are able to bring in this harmony between these two.
And and as we said in one of these episodes, that every truth that comes through reason is accepted. لمن كان له قلب أو ألقى السمع وهو شهيد. Someone who has mind or who listened to what religion says. Mm-hmm. So it is either reason or revelation. They don't have to be both, and you don't have to look for confirmation of one
in the other.
In that, some people, unfortunately, make this mistake. When we talk, inshallah, about this philosophy of science, if you have time, I will explain this. That some of our brothers made the wrong mistake of treating empirical facts as if they were matters of fiqh. You see, matters of rulings on how to pray, how to make ablution, how to make it. There is no source for this except revelation. Mm-hmm. But if you want to be, if you want to write about administration or psychology, or so, you don't treat this as if it is. It is a matter of fiqh, and you look for verses to support everything you claim about psychology, about administration, about physics, and so on. No, these are two different and authentic sources of the religion.
Okay. Sheikh, let me ask you this. What if we have some scientific, I don't want to call them, let's call them theories, out there, and on the surface, or in reality, they do contradict the teachings of the religion.
Mm.
And I think the example that comes to mind is the Darwinism, or the theory of Darwin, where the Quran makes a claim, and supposedly this theory makes another claim.
Yes.
How do we bring about harmony?
I think
is the proper
the
word.
Main, I have thought about this for some time. I think the main problem here is just the creation of Adam.
Mm.
There is nothing in the Darwinian theory which clearly contradicts anything in the Quran.
Sheikh, if it's not too much trouble, can you give us a glimpse of what is the claim of Darwin?
Now, Darwin claims that that these living things evolved by a certain natural method called the natural selection. I mean, I'm not a biologist to go into the details of this. So we as Muslims will treat this just like just the way scientists treat this. We have nothing in the Quran which says there is no natural selection. There is nothing in the Quran. It depends on how people, some atheists, would like to interpret this to mean that there is no creator. And they make a mistake which is very well known. Many Muslim theologians talk about it. They said that some people think that when they find a cause of something, a natural cause of something, this means that it was not created by God. But they say no, it is God who created the cause, or who made it the cause. So if you find a causal explanation of something, that doesn't mean...
It does not negate God.
Because this is the way how God deals with his creation. These are called sunan Allah, what we call now laws of nature, are called the ways of God. This is how... So we have no problem. And we have no problem with evolution in this general sense, general sense, not the Darwinian evolution, because Darwinian evolution is a theory of evolution. It is not it does not only say that there is evolution, because there is no problem in this. We can see from the world around us that many things evolve. I was not born with this beauty. I was a child, and so we have no problem. Some other religious people have problems with Islam, because they understood religion to mean that God created everything once only,
as it is now.
As it is now, but we don't believe this. In fact, in Islam, creation is something continuous, something continuous. Everything that happens every second is God's creation.
Every moment that's
And
second.
Even when you quote the verse, when God says, be and it will be, that doesn't mean that it will be that moment in its full shape. Yani, God must have said, let there be Yasir. That doesn't mean that you were this Yasir that we see now at the moment when God said this. But let there be Yasir, then let this be, let this be, let this be. And it is a series of
events.
Kuns, kun, 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 be. So we have no problem, I think. We have no problem as far as evolution is concerned. And if you have any problem with the Darwinian theory of evolution, it will be just Well, basically, as scientists, I don't think that there is anything in our religion that says there is no natural selection. The problem is when they say, when they apply this to Adam in particular, that Adam, this human being, was evolved from an ape. According to the Quran, this Adam was a special creation. Mm-hmm. And they might not find evidence for this in nature. God created Adam in a special way. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't look in any way like the ape before him. Because he can look like an ape or other animals, because there is some likeness between every creation and the other. So Adam might look in some ways like an ape, but we know that he is not an ape. I mean, he did not evolve from an ape, and that he has certain qualities for which we can't find an origin mm-hmm. in the apes. Mm-hmm. And this was mentioned even by some biologists called the new Darwinists. They said, I read this a long time ago when I was young. They said that there is a sharp line between Adam and the immediate animal before him. Hmm. You cannot find an origin for everything that Adam had. I mean, of course, they said the first person, they didn't say Adam. The first person and the animals before him. So man, according to them also, is unique. He evolved from the ape, but there is something mysterious here. About every other animal, you can say that this quality of the ape has its origin in the animal before it. That one has qualities, origin, and except for Adam. And this, so when it comes to something like this, we don't accept the scientific theory, because anyway, it is just a theory, it is not a scientific fact.
Sheikh, I would really hate to stop you here, but we are out of time. And inshallah, we will take it from where we left here next time we meet. With this, we come to the conclusion of our program for today. Thank you for joining us, and hope that you will join us next time we are on the air as well. Until then, we say so long. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.